Vegan croissants taste amazing.
No, vegan croissants taste absolutely abysmal. And I, like I say, it was genuinely, I got it by mistake, so I didn't realise it was a vegan croissant, otherwise I wouldn't have bothered. Because it had none of the buttery
stuff. Spit it out, John.
My vegan lemon cake is worth.
Do you know what? I think vegans love vegan food? Because they've forgotten what actual food tastes like.
What flavour is it?
I dare you to try it. It's just so
This tastes slightly better.
That doesn't fill you with confidence, does it? I dare you to try it. It's like some sort of like, it's like, why don't you put a monkey's testicle in your mouth? It's on the same level.
Why don't you compare my lemon cake to a monkey's testicle?
Camel's hump. Try some camel's hump, Brian. You'll love it.
So good.
Might try
it. I'm really proud of myself.
Anything with humps?
Dirty.
Right. Let's go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast with myself, Indy Tatler, John Toon, and Ryan Piercy. We are digitals in a cruel world, and today we're going to talk with our lovely friend, Ariona, who is joining us from Major Accounts. We're also covering app news, and we're bringing to you one of our sponsors, Advanced Track, who'll be featured on the episode later on today. Before we kick off, let's throw it to my co-host, John Toon. How are you, John?
How are you doing? Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. I am currently in Birmingham for a HLB conference, so I arrived earlier on today, going into tomorrow. So, yeah, very much looking forward to some food because my trains were delayed, so I've not had a chance to have breakfast or lunch yet. So,
What's the goss? What have you learned? How's HLB?
Yeah, it was really good. We had a presentation from an ex-Olympic rower earlier on today talking about leadership and how to create and support effective teams, building on her experience of obviously being in that Olympic program, but also having worked at the Foreign Office and working in some very difficult places like conflict zones and stuff. So fascinating couple of hours of talk, presentation, but also some interactive stuff as well. Even building a jigsaw, which you wouldn't think would be challenging, but it was genuinely quite interesting and very insightful.
Ryan, your thoughts on building a jigsaw? And accounting?
Do you build a jigsaw? Is that the right term? To build a jigsaw?
Make a jigsaw?
I'm lost. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know why that's the bit that I found weird out of John's little intro. That no, I've not had as much fun as John, like building jigsaws. Although my recent pleasure is my daughter is learning to read and she read her first book the other day. So with a little burst of pride. You know, you can read I Like Red. It's amazing.
It is. Very nice. Siana and we went skiing last week, Tandora. And so first time for me skiing. But of course, gosh, she was a natural. So what was it like 4 days in? She's on the blue and they're like, she's a natural. Number one skier. I was like, brilliant. Isn't that just, I was so proud of her. I was so proud of her. She was really proud of me. She was like, did you manage to do the slopes, Mummy? Yes, I did.
Amazing. And did you do some après as well?
Didn't because I had her with me and it's exhausting carrying skis around, isn't it? Oh, no one tells you how much hard work it is slugging those things over your shoulder.
Were you wearing your furs?
I didn't wear my furs. I was kitted out this time. I waited until I got all the way there to buy all the ski gear. Spent a nice pretty penny in a shop and then fell on my ass for a few hours, but no, it was great. I actually like by the end I was pretty good actually.
It feels like an addition for the Flinder trip.
No, end of story. No,
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I genuinely, to anyone who hasn't been skiing before, I will commit to saying that I think it's one of the best types of holiday you can do, particularly when you do have family as well, because I think it's an awesome way of spending time with people.
But your knees are exhausted.
No more.
And you tore your ACL last year.
I did, yeah. But everything comes with a risk.
Surprise. Anyway, she said what?
To be honest, Indy, before you went skiing, your knees were exhausted as well, but it's a whole different thing.
That's true. That is true. I'm not very good at doing HIIT workouts anymore. Every time you've got to do the knee.
It's all those burpees.
But it's exhausting being on your knees, isn't it? Isn't it, John?
Talking about someone on their knees.
Talking about someone.
Brian's watching the clock tick down.
Yep, I am indeed. Let's kick on with app news.
All right, I'm kicking off app news this week. Pento, the payroll software that was started by Jonas and Emil, who had built a software and now has been acquired by Hibob, which is a HR software. It seems like a common theme of consolidating the payroll and HR software. So guys, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would say this is probably a reaction to Employment's acquisition of KeePay a few years ago. They are going great guns, growing massively, had a huge valuation not that long ago, as we discussed in the pod. And HiBob's doing really well in the HR space, and it makes sense to partner with acquire a payroll software so they can more deeply integrate and provide, from a data security point of view, a fully integrated HR to payroll and then potentially to finance solution.
Pento is obviously very much a business-focused product, wasn't it? It didn't really do too much in the partnership space for accountants. Do you think they'll continue down that track with this acquisition now?
Well, I think HiBob is as well. They tend to go direct to business, whereas KeePay traditionally payroll bureau. So yeah, I think that they probably will go direct to business more so than going to accountants, but it's not a bad model. Like, the whole integration side is what's going to be the differentiator there. And I believe that Bob had HiBob, however they want to call themselves, change the names, had direct integration into Pento previously anyway. And if you look at the space, I'd say it's probably a good acquisition. There's others in the market, but where they are geographically and what they want to do, I think good acquisition from HiBob there. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that Pento was so large. It's processed, 3 billion of payments, of payroll payments across some of these big businesses and more than 400 businesses in the UK.
They really sold themselves, didn't they, as like a multi-country platform as well. So if you're a business that was going to be multinational or staff in different countries, they were really targeting that space to streamline opportunities. I say were, obviously they still are, I assume.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I've got something from QuickBooks Online. Over in the US, QuickBooks Online have released a new feature for QuickBooks Online advanced users called Forecast. Now, this is just in the US at present, but they do plan to roll this out to the other countries. Now, the Forecast feature is built for both short-term and long-term forecasting. It's looking at traditional simplistic versions of what you'd see in separate forecast tools that are out there. You can use existing actual data. You can do averages or just copy what the prior year was and then manually go in and edit them. And then once you have saved a forecast, you can copy it to your budgets. So you're reporting directly against your budgets inside the reporting tools of QuickBooks. Another area that they promised to roll out from QuickBooks Online Advanced, and doing so, unfortunately, as we experience all the time, in the US first, and all the other countries have to just wait in line.
I think that's fairly standard though, isn't it, nowadays? And I've got something else from QuickBooks as well. They have started the rollout of a new payroll product called Core Payroll that is replacing the standard payroll plan that is baked into QuickBooks at the moment. And essentially, they're expecting that people will start to move over the coming months from the old standard payroll to Core Payroll. Their PR machine, at least, is saying that there'll be lots of exciting new bits and pieces that will come out of this and a better experience. So the core functionality of the old payroll product is moving into the new one. But essentially, this is a platform change, it would seem. So I'm assuming some technology improvements in the background. But for the time being, at least, not particularly apparent if there's any other core new features or functionality that will appear there.
I believe this may be the payroll that's been around for a few months that we covered, possibly December time, can't remember for certain, where it's powered by KeePay, which is now Employment Hero. And because of that, I think this aligns with the other news that QuickBooks released about the same time, is that they now have QuickBooks Bureau Payroll, a new standalone payroll solution. I believe that's also powered by the same tool, which means it can stand alone. It's not inbuilt directly into the QuickBooks product. Put a nice wrapper around it. It's got a good integration into the QuickBooks finance system. And included in this means that you get CIS free of charge. You've got an employee portal for automation for those director-only style payrolls. And it's agnostic in that it can integrate into Xero, Sage, Free Agent, and many more, not just QuickBooks Online.
A little jump away, Revolut, the neobank that has a substantial customer base in the UK, is focusing more on building products in finance automation and is looking to streamline the CFO's job with the help of AI and launching Bill Pay, which will allow businesses to automatically pull in invoices from their accounting platforms, extract the information and make transfers with the approvals. So with Bill Pay, they're aiming to reduce the time customers spend on accounts payable by more than 80%. And that is due to launch in the second half of 2024. Nice little product. And obviously they have launched their HR product as well just before Christmas. So Bill Pay should compete with the likes of SAP Concur, and there's quite a few others financing companies, as we know, that work in this space to the automation of the sale of invoices.
I think this is fascinating to see how successful it will be, because Revolut moved into the payroll space a while ago and then obviously pulled that product, and we covered on one of the pods previously. So an interesting transition to move into more business type bulk payment solutions, because obviously you could make payments from the platform already, because that's just the basic function of being a bank. So I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of reception they get in the general marketplace, because obviously they're going to rely on integrations, and also whether they're going to start doing some of that invoice processing themselves potentially in the future, because again, this is the direction of travel we tend to see with the newer payment providers in the market.
It's something that we've spoken about before, though, that the neobank's role is evolving such that it makes sense for them to incorporate accounting functions. And why wouldn't they, if they have the ability to deploy deposits or at least earn an interest for financing products? It's logical. And so I don't think that this is a surprise. I just think the more accounting techs we would see the opposite movement, which is exactly what we were talking about on the last episode with Penny Lane. Because Why wouldn't they, if there are more neobanks looking to enter the space anyway? Every single one of those applications becomes a way to lend to customers.
Absolutely. Okay, well, in a slight pivot away from that, we've got some news from KPMG and BlueJay. They've launched a new generative AI-powered product to help answer challenging tax research questions internally. Now, I'm not entirely sure this is absolutely like brand new news, as it were, because we've covered this previously on one of our historic pods, I think around about a year ago, possibly a little bit longer, when this original partnership was announced. And essentially, this partnership was formed to do exactly what they've just created now, which was to try and leverage things like large language models to be able to help KPMG staff do complex tasks like research into tax, and try and make sure that they're given information that helps them to get to a decision more quickly and to provide advice to their clients more accurately. So yeah, this is fascinating news. They basically rolled this out to 3,000 plus people across their tax and legal functions. And their predictions within the model at the moment are running at over 90% accuracy. So that you can imagine the impact that's going to have, and some considerable time savings that you'd expect KPMG to make, or not just time savings, savings but scale opportunities to maybe provide more advice along these lines. So yeah, it's good to see. I don't think it's absolutely brand new news in terms of, we knew that they had this partnership historically, but I think this is the formal announcement of a proper product that's been put into people's hands.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this compares to Todd or Tax on Demand as they could build out their product. Shouldn't there be some overlap with what's in each feature? But obviously KPMG have full control over what's in there, rather than an off-the-shelf product that Todd will become. I've got something actually new, not something we've talked about in the past, but this time from Chaser. They have released something called Auto Calls. So Chaser, being a credit control app that says automated emails, they've identified that actually most of their clients do end up calling their customers to chase up bills. I think they identified something like 60-odd% of credit control teams see the importance in calling their customers. So they brought in auto calls. Now, auto calls are basically automated phone calls. So there's pre-scripted text-to-speech phone calls that are being delivered to your customers. I'm not certain if that will be successful, because the beauty of the email reminders that Chase always did is they felt like they were coming from someone. It was written in a way, a style that made them feel like they're coming from someone. I don't think the text-to-speech I've ever heard it sound like it's coming from someone. So it'll become, I think, frustrating for customers, but let's see if it's a success. It's obviously something that customers have either asked for or they feel their customers would want.
I agree with you, Ryan, in terms of, I think if this is a fairly robotic kind of thing, it's going to feel a bit like those unsolicited sales calls that you get from other people and will just end up being on a spam list that no one will listen to. Having said that, though, there have been significant advances in obviously the use of AI, but particularly around phone call technology and being able to accomplish tasks. You might be aware that there was something that Apple pushed out a little while ago to promote their new VR headset, and there was a sale made that they recorded with a customer that was driven entirely by an AI bot initiating a phone call and then having a live conversation with a customer and completing a sale. So if Chaser are going to make that kind of level of investment in this kind of thing, that could make a significant difference. But as you say, I think if it's just old technology, as it were, I think it's going to put off a lot of people.
And one from Free Agent, who have integrated with Dex Prepare. So now you can import sales invoices directly from Dex Prepare into Free Agent and upload the invoices either individually or in bulk, and Dex Prepare will then automatically extract the data and seamlessly generate the invoices in Free Agent. So saving a little bit of time and admin in terms of uploading and preparing the records. And there is also some support for multiple line items to the bill. So it depends on your subscription level, but if you have a bill with multiple line items, then value and tax rates can now be added in a similar way to when you create an invoice in Free Agent. Going back to our interview last time with Savvy Gill, another way of them showing the kind of optimization and the steps that they're taking in being able to deliver something innovative in the market and removing the extra friction points that users feel in the interplay with different types of softwares that they work with.
Yeah, I believe this builds on the existing integration I think they had just for purchase invoices, and they've built out now for sales invoices and that much deeper integration to match some of the others in the marketplace. But yeah, it's great to see that enhancement there, especially as Free Agent seem to be expanding what they can do from an integration perspective.
Yeah, and following on from that, Free Agent also announced that they've extended the reach of their Amazon integration as well. So if you use an Amazon UK marketplace to sell Amazon, whether that's UK or international, you can start to use this baked-in integration that they've now got, and it's free of charge until the end of April. I would say, though, that there are some limitations about this, and I think those limitations might be challenging for certain businesses. So, for example, they can import the Sterling transactions from Amazon to Free Agent automatically, but any non-Sterling transactions and the fees would have to be pulled in and dealt with manually. And that is a bit of a problem because Amazon reports are not great when you need that transactional information, and also clearly, no one wants a manual process if you're selling at volume. But the upside of it is for the UK stuff, the income and fees will be categorized normally, as we're familiar with other products. And it's a relatively low cost integration. It's £6 per month plus VAT. So yeah, it's very affordable. And the only other limitation that they've put in there is that you can process up to 6,000 orders per month. So I guess probably if you're on Free Agent, given their history of what the kind of target market that they've had, 6,000 orders per month is probably well within your scope. But again, if you are a significant e-com business, you could be well above that number.
Yeah, interesting one there. I've got something from Mayday. They have, and I love this because I've been asking for ages, but they've now released new intra-entity recharge feature. Now, just to explain what that is a ability to recharge inside an organization. So those that have departments or cost centers that want to be able to split costs across, I guess, the various departments. A lot of this happens in like not-for-profits where they've got costs they need to split across all of their funds. You can now do that from inside Mayday, something that I have been asking for, something that I need and something I will be using.
Yeah, ditto. That's a spectacular update that they've rolled out, and it'll definitely be good for clients.
Yeah, and then something probably not so positive. Sage have now confirmed the retirement of TazBooks. If you've ever heard of TazBooks, 30-year-old system here, and it's going to be retired in August 2024. I know of it because we still have some clients on it. So that's going to be an interesting discussion about how to migrate them onto something else. But yes, it's a system that is quite, I guess, traditional, definitely not the modern cloud. And I assume that Sage are encouraging most of their clients to move across to Sage Business Cloud to use that software.
I remember TazBooks, not because we still have clients on it, although we may well do, but I don't know for sure. But I remember it because it used to be the sort of like our second choice product at the firm that I trained at. And it was abysmal. Like, it was terrible to get reports out of, and it was weird and wacky because it was very simplistic and it wasn't very clear in terms of how you entered transactions or journals and stuff. And I do remember there used to be an issue. I'm sure there used to be an issue with trying to run a trial balance, or if you posted a journal, you couldn't get information out of it. It was all a bit odd. But yeah, so it's long overdue getting killed off. And thank goodness that Sage have finally made that decision.
Well, you should both win some awards for then complimenting that software. Or sounds great. Good luck, Ryan. Other news, KPM has released its new time and fees software. It's a new feature that's being added to their practice management module. Allows you to monitor and improve your practice workflow, employee and client activities, and record chargeable time quite simply. And also it enables businesses to accurately record billable hours, streamline the invoicing, and improve financial management. So new feature for them in their practice management, which has been around for the last few years. It'd be really good to do a battle of the practice managements again fairly soon, because I know that there's quite a few that are rolling out new features and maybe some that haven't quite yet caught up. So maybe that will be on a future episode.
And finally, Companies House have set out that their fees for a whole range of things are going to be increasing with effect from the 1st of May. This is a consequence of the introduction of the Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Act, which effectively turns Companies House into a bucket into which you can pour any old shit into a proper regulator. And they're going to be checking the information and data and things that are going to be supplied to it, from whether that's confirmation statements or sets of accounts, etc. And in order to police that, they need to increase their prices, because they're going to have to invest in quite a substantial amount of technology, no doubt additional people and various other things. So things like the cost of incorporation, I think, are going up to £50 from the current fee levels. Confirmation statements are going from, I think it's £13 up to about £30 or £35, if I remember rightly. And okay, those numbers are quite big multiples in terms of where you start from. But the reality is they're still, you know, it's pocket change for most businesses, you know, £34 to do your annual confirmation statement and £50 to incorporate a business. When you contrast that to certain places on the continent or in the US where it costs you upwards of £1,500 to incorporate, I think it's still pretty cheap. And hopefully what we will see is an improvement of the quality and the information that's held at Companies House.
And I think probably what we'll also see is some dormant companies being retired, because who's going to pay those additional fees for keeping them around?
Absolutely.
We are privileged to be joined by Vipul from Advanced Track to talk a bit about Advanced Track and the tech they use. So Vipul, firstly, thank you for coming onto our podcast. Give us a very quick intro on Advanced Track.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vipul. I founded Advanced Track way back in 2003 with a simple premise that we create time to help accountants spend more time doing the bits that clients care about and will pay for. We decided we would be tech first, which, having worked in big four firms, I really saw the value of what technology brought to the way I was able to do my job, and more importantly, collaborate across different offices, different locations and clients, etc. And we built our first cloud application way back in 2005-06.
Wow. And so what is your standard tech stack now?
It varies depending on how we interact with our customers. Cloud has become a huge focus for us, because if you looked at our client base, 90% of them would be what all the big cloud providers, they would have probably as their platinum and gold firms. So predominantly the core products will be the Xero, QuickBooks Online, Sage Cloud. And then you've got the obvious add-ons like AutoEntry, Dext, etc. They will be core, depending on what services we're delivering. So certainly bookkeeping, we would require an OCR solution to be part of the mix.
It's good to hear that you mandate that, right? Because that can make massive difference to process and efficiency in pricing.
And the thing with us is we're very much about process. I trained in a smaller firm and that was great. Probably turned me into a half decent accountant. But having four ways of producing the file, because there were four partners, then there were different variations depending which manager it flowed through. So there's that. But then I worked at EY and KPMG. What it really showed me was process. Yeah, the firm had a process where, regardless of who sat in the chair, as long as you were good at your job, you could do it. And that showed me that this is the way. If I'm going to build an outsourcing business, then this was the way to do it. And it's what set us apart and what allowed us to win our first top 50 account way back in 2008.
Nice. So when you're creating process, I assume that's evolved over time, especially if it's gone from 2008 to now. But do you have ways you map that out for your staff to understand?
First and foremost, obviously, we all create what we think is best practice. But every accountancy firm out there thinks their process is right for them. So we'll import that into our platform. And when we pick up a file for XYZ firm, we're following their process. And what it means is when QAD come in and say, oh, I see you use outsourcing. What does that look like? Well, everything AdvancedTrack do for us is the same as what we do internally.
I assume you'll need some standardization. You can't bespoke everything for every single client, right? So do you try and to direct the client into your best way of working?
If we see there's too much variation, we'll sit down with them and say to them, actually, look, this isn't working because it's not scalable. We want to prove to the firm that actually it's not just one small part of your firm that we can go and do this for. We want to roll it across the business. And you can't do that if you like having cherries on the top or you like having strawberries on top. But it's that kind of idea. You can't do it. Yeah, you can have everyone who likes strawberries stand in a line. Everyone likes raspberries stand in a line. You can't have it where every time it arrives, it's different.
I think that lineup of strawberries, blueberries, or whatever fruit we pick is perfect, right? You've got your process and you're directing your customer to the process that fits them. But correct. I'd like to come back to your system, right? Because you built from the ground up, you take on the risk then. And with that, you take on the risk of data and maintaining that. So what do you do to make sure that data is secure for your customers?
Just to give you an example, as a general rule, we don't use email, which sounds heavenly in some instances. But for us, it's really important because you've got to think, where's the potential for you to lose data? If I went into my Outlook now and I was sending you a message, Ryan, but the wrong Ryan came up, we've all done it. If I attach the wrong file, I've potentially got a data breach. Whereas actually, if I contain it within our platform, I'm protecting ourselves as a business, I'm protecting our customers and their reputations. And it's what enables us to deliver to the kind of firms we do now.
And are you accredited from a data security point of view?
We've actually got 5 different ISOs. 3 are around security. One's around business continuity and one's around quality. Plus, we're an ICAW regulated firm as well. So from a customer point of view, we have the appropriate amount of regulation and audit. And we were the first UK business that BSI accredited to the new ISO 27001, which is the information security standard. And we're one of the first 10 globally to achieve that. So we take it really seriously and we want to show that we're one of the best out there, if not the best.
Yeah, well, I think that speaks for itself. It's hard enough to get one ISO accreditation. It's like you're collecting them like Pokemon. So, Vipul, I think that's great to learn more about Advanced Trek and what you do with tech, and we'll get you back on.
Thank you.
I'm delighted to say that on the podcast this time around, we're joined by Ariona from Majors Accountants, probably quite well known to a lot of people in the industry, and certainly someone else who flies the green flag for QuickBooks. So we're going to hopefully have some interesting conversation about what's going on, why she made those choices and bits and pieces. But Ariona, welcome to the pod. I've totally avoided your resume name on purpose because it's almost unpronounceable, but I'm sure you'll be able to fix us up and tell us how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you just a couple of changes there. So obviously my name's Ariona Bayrakorte, J's are silent. And also I'm actually from Majors Accounts. Everyone always says Majors Accountants.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
Majors Accounts. Yeah, but thank you so much for having me today. Really looking forward to today's discussion.
Well, I can see how the tone of this conversation is going to go, given that I've already been corrected more than once. So that's absolutely fine. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of a background about Majors Accounts and how you came about that, and particularly the name, because I think that's a really great story that you've got
there. Yeah, absolutely. So Majors Accounts was actually started by my dad. I was 13 at the time, but the reason it's called Majors Accounts is because he used to be a major in the Albanian army many years ago. And yeah, when he started the practice, it made sense that they were his accounts. He was the owner. And then, yeah, over the years, grew the business. I took over. The business grew pretty successfully. And I thought when I took over, I want to do it my way. So I've destroyed it and then built it how I wanted it. So when I say destroyed it, not literally, but if you ask my dad, yeah, probably he would say I literally destroyed it. But I think we work a lot better now than we did before. We're a lot more focused in what we do.
And what did that destruction and reconstruction process look like? And what was it that you saw in the business that you didn't like? And what did you retain, I guess?
What made me want to go in and make such huge changes were, at the time, MTD. I know everyone talks about MTD, but that was the catalyst for me in terms of finding out that there is a whole new world out there in the accounting world. Because I thought, and like I had worked in our practice from day one, it's paperwork. Here's your tax, see you later, job done. We got to like 3,500 clients. We were profitable. It was working. I didn't think there was anything else. I thought that's how everybody worked. So when I went and I contacted the giants and QuickBooks got back to me, and I went to QuickBooks Connect, and when they invited me, I thought, what the hell am I going to get from an accounting conference, right? It's just going to be some people standing around and saying, so how many tax returns have you done this year? I literally didn't understand what I was going to be seeing. When I went there, it was a huge shock because it was a world that I did not know existed. I was actually really worried and apprehensive even going up to the vendors and asking what their product was about, because I'd never heard of anything like that. So I was just walking around like completely lost. And then the like panel sessions and all of that, where people were helping each other out and teaching each other what we can do as accountants and how to improve our client services and how to work better together. I was just like, wow, I didn't know that this existed. And when I went back to the office, it wasn't a case of MTD anymore. That was nothing to do with the reason I wanted to make the change. It was, we need to just change our business up completely, stop working 7 days a week, being available to clients whenever they needed it, get rid of paperwork, work more efficiently, and actually become almost like business partners to our clients to advise them along the way, right? Which is what we were doing, but it wasn't structured and it was always delayed because we didn't have the information to hand. So making that change, and one of the main things for me was when I was training, I was so bored in terms of what I was studying versus what I was doing every day. I just thought, I'm not getting to really do what we were studying in the real world because we don't have time for it. So with the adoption of tech, it actually gave us time to analyze and see what's going on. So I just thought, apart from business being more efficient, it'll make it more interesting for me, for my team, just to like open their vision and have a much better skill set.
Yeah, it sounds like you went to QuickBooks Connect and really drank the Kool-Aid, as it were. That's not, I wouldn't say that's typical for a lot of people in your position, maybe coming from not really knowing the technology in the market and things like that. So why do you think you had a sort of a different response than maybe others tend to have when it comes to looking at technology and the way that it can benefit their practice?
When I saw what was available, it was the opportunities that were there for us. I've always been really open-minded to so many things. I don't know whether that's a prerequisite in having to do that, but it's when you can see the benefits and the opportunities that are available, I think just go ahead with it. I love risks. I love taking risks, which is not usual in our industry, right? If it makes sense on paper, then give it a go. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Start again. You'll learn so much in that process. So that's the kind of way that I am anyway. So I just thought, it seems like it should work. So why not give it a go?
You mentioned that you had a reasonably successful portfolio of clients, good numbers, etc. When you made those changes and introduced new technology and stuff, did you end up having to lose some clients along the way? And I guess you probably gained some as well, right?
Yeah, we did. We lost quite a few because when I started this, although I felt it was very late, it was still really early for our industry. And I didn't know anyone else who was doing it. Our clients didn't know anyone else who was doing it, and neither did our team. So when I made these changes and implemented the tech, a lot of the clients were like, no, we trained them that way, right, for many years. So there's like not having it. And at that point, I just thought, it's fine because they weren't meant to be for us. You can try and change them as much as possible. If they can be changed, they will stay. If they can't, you have to accept defeat and move on because there will be people that need you. And the same with our team. So at the end of this process, we ended up with 4 of our team members that we started with. Wow. Out of 25 people, we lost 21. Wow. And that was because they did not see the vision that I had. But it comes to a point where, as accountants, we forget we're running a business. And I tried for 6 months after going to QuickBooks Connect to convince them to come on the journey with me so we could all do it together. But if it doesn't work, then 6 months I said, this is where we're going, whether it works or not. This is what we're going to do. If you want to join us, go ahead. If you don't, there's the door kind of thing, because it's just not going to work and you're not going to be very happy with it as well. So over time, we did lose quite a few people, but we gained people who were right for what we needed, who helped us drive that change even faster. So what's meant to be is meant to be. And the same with clients. Now we've got clients that are more into this and appreciate what we're giving them.
For as long as I've been in this space, it has been a challenge to recruit people. So did you face that same problem?
Absolutely. I think it's a challenge in general in the industry, especially after COVID, people's expectations have changed. But on top of that, we're such a digital firm. So we try to digitize absolutely everything we can, automate everything, how are you going to find people that know all of those softwares? And I'm always looking at what is a software that up and coming that I can amend or change my process to make it more efficient. So it's not a case of we found the software, we're good, we're going to teach someone, we're good for the next 20 years. It's as soon as I've got a software, I'm still looking for something else that's going to improve. So finding people that know all the softwares, the mix that we use, is an extra added layer of difficulty. But I think that also adds to the attraction of getting the right talent, that they can see it's a firm that is forward thinking and wants to be as efficient as possible and hopefully make their life more interesting and easier.
Yeah. And talking about technology, I mean, you're a fairly big proponent of Unco, the practice management software, maybe not familiar to a lot of our listeners. Would you sort of give us some background as to why you chose that product over others and what it does for you that makes it stand out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it was about 2 years ago, I put a post up on LinkedIn talking about, I think I need a practice management software now. This is probably something I should have started off with at the start of the journey, but we managed everything on Excel previously. So I thought that's good enough. And I didn't know where I should have started. Now, if I do it all again, I know where I should. But anyway, that came last. And I asked everyone for recommendations. I got a huge list of all kinds of softwares. I looked into each of them, but I had some key criteria in that I needed it to have the ability to send text messages to all clients. I needed to be able to connect it to as many softwares as possible, especially email, so everyone, we can have a centralized place. I need to be able to keep a record of a conversation or a job, for example, all correspondence within that particular job, what we've done internally, externally, all within one place. And most importantly, for me, I want to be able to have a bird's eye view of a dashboard that I want to create, that I want to see, that's relevant to me. What I want to see is not going to be relevant to my second in command or my manager or any of the other client managers or the team. So I want everyone to be able to have that ability to create a dashboard of what they want to see. And this was really the only software out there that encompassed all of that. And it's shocking that it wasn't well known. But since then, we have made such a change. And now we're doing work 5 months ahead of time, not always on the last day of the deadline. And for me, it means that I'm able to run my practice literally from anywhere. We were wasting time with all of the teams, let's say a minimum of 1 hour per team every single week. And what were we discussing? Where are we on this job? Where are we on that? Whereas now I can just go in and see exactly what's happening. If it's a case that the client is not responding to us, I don't need to ask the team member, where are you? I'll call the client and say, hey, we've emailed you, texted you 15 times. You're not responding. What's going on? Then they will respond straight away. And whereas like before, I wasn't privy to that information until I asked them. So yeah, it's made a huge difference in how we work and how I run my business.
Yeah. And just winding back, obviously you mentioned that sort of QuickBooks Connect was that sort of stimulus for you. And I guess that's why you've become a big advocate of QuickBooks. If I was to play devil's advocate, if it had been a ZeroCon or a Sage event or something else, or a free agent event, would that mean that you would have ended up with them instead, do you think?
I don't think so. Either of them would have been a change for me, right? Seeing all those softwares. But what made QuickBooks stand out for us, out of all the ones I called, they got back to me straight away. They wanted to come and see me within the week in my office to explain how the product works and so on. And then they invited me to QuickBooks Connect as well, just to get that better idea. But they were the only ones that were really willing to help. And I was an absolute novice. I had no clue what QuickBooks was. Yeah, we used Sage Desktop, but that was the most advanced piece of software we used. And that was only for a couple of clients. The rest were all on Excel. So they held my hand throughout the whole process. And they supported us with that digitalization process in terms of, let's segment the clients, let's start with these, and basically help me from start to finish. The other softwares, they said, oh, hey, maybe 2 weeks later, we saw you'd inquired. If you'd like, book a meeting here. Here's the link to our website. And it was like, well, you know, if I hadn't have had that support, if QuickBooks did the same thing, then I don't know, I probably wouldn't have got to where I got to that fast anyway, without their help. And because they supported us that much throughout, made sense.
And you're clearly familiar and comfortable making changes in your practice. What is it that you need to do to assess how to make a change, small or large, at the firm?
So with changes that we make in the firm, it would be, if something happens that there's a delay in something or an issue where the team would present to me and I'll have a look at what can we do to fix that. It could be when I have my weekly meetings with my operations manager, things are going a little bit slower than usual, figuring out why that is. And if it is something we can automate or we need to look at a different solution. And then looking at our KPIs and what we're doing as a firm and seeing where we can improve and whether we need a different system for it. So it's constantly looking at how we can improve in all areas, whether that is communication with the client, because clients complain, employees complain, or just to be more efficient.
And is there anything in particular that you're looking at the moment? And from what you said about QuickBooks, their level of engagement, their level of support, it sounds like that's really quite a fundamental part of the relationships you want to have with vendors.
Yeah, absolutely. QuickBooks is our core product, right? In terms of what I'm looking at right now, our onboarding experience is one that we're looking at trying to make a lot better, smoother for us and for our clients as well, to make sure that it's as seamless an experience as possible. There are so many softwares out there trying to figure out which one works best, or if there's something that we can create and link and create something unique. That's where we are at the moment. But it changes on a daily basis. My issue is that I have too many ideas, and I don't know how I was working before my operations manager came into her role. I think it was about 3-4 months ago. When she started, I was like, right, I have this idea. And I gave her a whole bunch of stuff and she was so overwhelmed. And I was thinking, I was doing all of this before and all of these ideas. But it's great to have that sounding board with her as well. And, you know, helping us navigate which things we need to change.
And tell us about those non-accounting roles that you've got within the firm, because I guess for certain firms, that's quite unusual to have.
Yeah. So I had a change in mindset about 6 months ago in terms of how it was working nonstop on the business. I just felt like I had to wear so many hats of the business, which entrepreneurs do generally, right? And I don't think as an entrepreneur you ever stop doing that. But if you're going to be more successful in terms of satisfy whatever your goals are, you're going to need that support and you can't be an expert in everything. And I think once you recognize that, a huge weight is lifted off your shoulders. And I recognize I don't have time to be looking at every single little thing. I need clarity of what's going on in our business, and I'm too involved in everything that's going on. And I'm doing a bit of everything, but nothing is being done amazingly. So I had the operations manager who is just sorting out everything in terms of deadlines and how we're working more efficiently and dealing with queries from the team and clients and things like that. And then we've got people who are in charge of different departments. We've got somebody who sits there and just reviews quality of work and training staff. So they're not doing any actual chargeable work. But in my opinion, it's worth it, because at the end of the day, the quality of our service and knowledge of the staff is being improved on a daily basis. And they don't need to come to me to ask for specific tax queries, accounts queries, because I'm going to be all over the place doing meetings. I don't have time to give them the answer they need straight away. And then, yeah, so they will look at quality of work and then see where the general errors are and then train everybody every week or every 2 weeks. So everyone has the same knowledge. So it's areas like this that I've been dealing with throughout the business. It just means that we're actually running as a business, not a practice anymore.
So many people like yourself running an accountancy practice identify as an accountant, and you mentioned that you identify as an entrepreneur, and then you're talking about running a business, not a practice or a firm. Again, where does that mindset come from? And I know that you do a little bit of property development outside of the day job, as it were. Is it because you've got that other sort of vested interest that gives you that mindset, or where does that come from?
I think it does help when you do have other vested interests, because you see the work involved in, for example, property development, the effort that I put in with the output compared to running an accountancy practice or business and the outputs that you get from that and the stress that you get from it, they're very different. Also, as a side note, my dad worked 7 days a week for 14 years. I don't want to do that. He's lost 14 years of his life just working. And it's not like those clients appreciate that, what he's done, because they will say, well, I paid you for it. So it's not my problem. If you wanted to be available 24/7, if you'd have said to me it's normal working hours during the weekday, fine. But you said you'd be available on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Saturday, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I don't want that kind of life. I want the respect for the time that I'm going to give them. And I think it should be reciprocal. But then also look at how much money am I making here versus here? And how can I make this more efficient so it can start to run for itself, so I can free up more time to do more of other more efficient or money-making businesses?
And it felt like you touched on quite a personal thing there in terms of your dad spending a lot of time working 7 days a week. Clearly that has an impact from your perspective, family-wise and things. I know you've got a young family as well. So is that you sort of reflecting on your childhood and saying, I don't want that for my children?
Absolutely. I guess one benefit I had in working very early and at the age of 13 was that I did get to pick up a lot of skills. So by the time I turned 18, I was already doing things that senior accountants weren't sure how to do because I was doing it all manually and I learned from ground up. So I had that head start. But at what cost? It meant that we were literally at the office. Got to a point when going to the office was like, oh, do we have to? Because I was there every Saturday, Sunday, holidays. Whenever I was not at school, I was there. And also missing out on that time with my parents. I know everyone says, I'd love my parents to have been there when I had plays and things like that, but they didn't attend any of that because they were trying to grow the business. And a lot of the time, as I got older, I was there looking after my brother and sister, for example, when my mom and dad had to go do something else. And I don't want that for my kids. I want them to have just a childhood, right, where they can just have really fond memories. I'm not saying that mine wasn't, because my parents came from quite a difficult background, like when we came to the UK, because I was 6, I think, when I came to the UK. So I'm originally Albanian. So my parents had to start from scratch. So I guess we're already on different playing fields from where they started and where I am. But I want to make sure that I enjoy this time with my children, because they're going to grow up. And by the age of 20, if I'm lucky, they're going to be like, see ya, I've got my own life now, you know. So I'm hoping, but after they've done that, then I can have more time to do other things. But I just want to enjoy this time with them. But at the same time, hopefully motivate them to be as successful as possible. And I think they do that through seeing what we do. Like I've just come back from a business trip. I took my kids with me. They were actually there in the meeting, which was interesting, with the one-year-old. But it was seeing that, like, you can mix pleasure with work, but this is what work looks like, and this is what fun looks like as well.
That's a challenge, right? But I think it's a particular challenge for women, unfortunately, still, isn't it, in terms of having to juggle family, career, life, etc.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel it's getting better, or is it something that you just have to put up with, or is the industry adapting, or are clients even adapting to being a bit more accepting of these things?
I think they are adapting. I don't know, the way that I conduct myself generally is that, yeah, I am a mother, but business is business, so I will get on with it, kind of thing. But I think with the way that we work with my team members as well, if they need to, you know, be around their children for whatever reason, they're sick, they've got whatever, they need to take an hour away from work, then do it. We can be flexible. And clients will understand, because they've got children as well. And when it comes to clients, we say we're human beings too. So when you say that, it's really surprising. You have those conversations with them. They do get it and they do understand. And actually the relationship becomes a lot better. But obviously we have to perform. I think it is becoming better because we have that flexibility now. In the past, it was 9 to 5. You can't leave. And with my daughter, I can see the difference between my daughter and my son's. My daughter's 10. I sent her to nursery. She was 18 months. She was there from 8 till 3, 4 in the afternoon, because that's when we were still very manual and I didn't have that flexibility. And I hated it, because by the time I got home, and I was lucky my mum looked after her, but I feel like I missed out on so much of that time that I wish I could have been able to do, you know, like I do with my son right now. I take him to the office. We'll spend a few hours during the day doing whatever he likes, but it's that flexibility.
Sounds amazing. Well, Ariana, thank you so much for your time. I know you're super busy. Even though you've made life so much more efficient, you've got plenty of things to do and plenty of responsibilities. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I'm sure we'll be tapping you up in the future for your comments and thoughts on what QuickBooks are doing well or not so well, maybe. And yeah, delighted to have you on. I'm sure if we have opportunity to, we'll tell some of the ski trip war stories, but we'll see.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed today, and yeah, anything you need, I'm here.
All good. I think their interview was pretty succinct. I don't think we fluffed up too much,
and let's hope that we never hear anybody say succinct again.
Succinct. 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 What's wrong with succinct?
This makes it sound like you're giving blowjobs in the bath or something.
I really don't understand why your mind needs to go to that sexy place. Is it just like the way that I speak? Does it just take your mind there? Must directly
be,
to the gutter.
Must be what, to the gutter, yeah. Yeah, it takes me to the bathroom. It's not even like I'm saying...
I'm not even saying it in like a sexy way. I'm not saying...
Like a breathy way.
Succinct. It's not like that. I'm like, you're thinking like, you're so succinct. It's like, I understand if I was speaking like that, but I'm not.
See, indie sex line.
Yeah, it's, I know.
Digital sex line, that's what it is.
Just rip this banter out and put it all in the kind of one banter episode. It's not even a banter episode. It's basically like my pitch tape for like my own hotline. Yeah.
It's just, your, you know, what do they call it? What do they call the tapes that they do?
Audition tape?
Audition tape, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Ryan, I will not ask you again. Do not touch the buttons on the control panel, okay?
Take your fingers away from the clitoris.
Do you want me to hit stop or not?
You stop touching anything now, okay? Yes, take your finger off the clitoris. Sorry,
I'm amazed that you knew how to find it.
Come on, Ryan.
It's still recording. Okay.
That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for joining us. If you've got any feedback, please do pass it on. If there's some things that we covered today that you'd like to know a little bit more about, you can join our Digital Disruptors Network. Reach out to myself, John, Ryan, see how you can get involved. We are looking to broaden our community, send out more content this year, and also we are organising our very own events. So if you want to be included and involved, then hit up our website, Digital Disruptors. And outside of that, if you haven't left us a review, we would really appreciate a review because it has been a while, and hopefully there's some things in here that you're enjoying. But if there's not, and we're not covering enough of some of the softwares that you'd like to hear more about, then once again, get in touch and we're happy to take your feedback and do something with it. Catch you on the next one.